Welcome in to Vern's Postgame Show.
God, a home run! A three-run homer for Salvador Perez!
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Fournier.
All right, good afternoon. I'll tell you what, just when I think I have this fan base understood, you guys go and surprise me. I'll tell you what. Wow. Royals lose. They drop the finale in Cleveland. Final score 7-5. I'll be honest with you. During the games, I tend to stay away from social media. I avoid the text line. It's just so negative. Baseball's already a game of failure. I don't need more negativity from people like, well, people like me, people that never played at the highest level. I really don't need to hear you whine about these Royals that are now 16 games above 500. So I was all set to sit down and look back on a very impressive series victory in Cleveland. I was ready to throw bouquets the way of Michael Wacha for that grown man effort. And then I sit down to open up the broadcast, and now I decide to take a dive into the text line and just quickly scan social media. So I guess I need to change up the kind of show I was planning on having. I guess the question is this. I say it with a smirk on my face, but maybe this is the question. I mean, did this shake your confidence? Are you kidding me right now? You let me know. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7965. That's the phone number. That's the text line number. Good God, you know the text line number. 913-586-7965. I swear it was 24 hours ago that many of you were saying that your confidence is unshakable. That the Royals are in first place and they're never going to give it back. Now, sure, they gave it back. Cleveland now a game up on the boys in the American League Central as they fall just short of that four-game sweep, something they haven't done since 1973. It's a difficult thing to do, a four-game sweep in their yard. But to me, this game was fairly simple as far as a diagnosis, if we want to break down why the boys fell short 7-5. To me, this was the Royals paying the tab for the past 2 days. Had a day-night doubleheader on Monday, a night game yesterday interrupted by a 2-hour and 14-minute rain delay. The Royals played three games in 36 hours, and not a single starting pitcher went five innings. At least not for the Royals, right? Monday, Tuesday, not a single starting pitcher finishes the fifth inning. That bullpen did a lot of quality work. Right, 16 and two-thirds innings of two-run baseball coming into today out of that bullpen. So Michael Wacha stays out there in the seventh inning. Wacha gives you six innings. He's the first Royals pitcher to give you six in the past six games. You have to go back to the last Michael Wacha start to find a Royal starter giving you six solid frames. So to me, you guys let me know if I'm off base on this one. This is an easy one to turn the page. When your starting pitcher records five outs like Michael Lorenzen did last night. When Alec Marsh doesn't finish the fifth. When Reagans doesn't record an out in the fifth. To win all three of those games, man, you're not going to catch me hanging my head after a professional stud-like performance from Michael Wacha. Now, the way that I saw this game today, coming into it, looking at that Royals bullpen, you had the new guy, Steven Cruz. I'm not interested in seeing him. Chris Stratton was available. I was not interested in seeing him. Other than those two, Lucas Ercig was obviously available out there. Chris Bubich, okay. But that's it. I don't know where else Matt Quatrero could have turned there in the seventh inning. Now, as I'm managing along with the game, maybe you go with Bubich, but then they, you know, they're going to bring in Lane Thomas to lead off that inning. Maybe you go Bubich in the seventh, but again, man, I'm not going to second guess. What Michael Wacha has done for this team for the past 3.5 months, with as good as he looked throughout those six frames, I understand trying to steal an additional out in the seventh from Michael Wacha. Text line, I understand you disagree. Social media, very upset. So I wonder, is your confidence now shook, Kansas City? 913-586-7965. Royals lose 7-5, and since the All-Star break, the Royals are now 0-14 when they allow six or more runs. They're a perfect 23-0 when they hold the opposition below six runs. It's a very low bar to clear here in the second half, but the Royals unable to get it done today, losing, dropping the finale, and falling just short of a four-game sweep. All right, let's hear from you. 913-586-7965 is the phone number. Let's start off in Independence. Chewy, you're hitting leadoff. Go for it, Chewy.
No, I'm not shook. I think the manager did the right thing with keeping Walker in. Our bullpen did good the last few days. We do need to work a little bit on the fundamentals on a couple of ground balls and pop flies, maybe a couple times using the two hands. And I would also like to get Eric Hosmer in to give some ground balls on working with Benny on first base sometimes.
Yeah. All right. We got you down, Chewy. Thank you for the phone call. You look at the metrics, Vinny Pasquantino, one of the 5-10 best defensive first basemen in the game. Eric Hosmer certainly visited the boys in spring, had a chance to see him a few months ago during the 2014 reunion. Thanks for the phone call. Royals make another error today. Freddie Fermin with an errant throw that helped lead to the seventh and final Cleveland run. Now Chris Stratton hitting the first man that he faces doesn't help anyone. Chris Stratton really hasn't helped many people, at least not on the field, not in a long time. Royals lose 7-5. Chewy, thank you very much for the phone call. I hope the confidence isn't shook. The loss, by the way, goes to Lucas Ercik. His first loss, he gives up his first run as a member of the Kansas City Royals, coming in a very unfortunate situation, right? He's not warming up to start that seventh inning. Michael Wacha comes in, and on the very first pitch to the number 9 hitter, Bo Naylor, he gives up a no-doubter. So suddenly, the 5-2 Kansas City lead, just like that's 5-3 Royals. And Lucas Ercik's quickly loosening up, trying to get in there. Back-to-back singles from the top two hitters in the Cleveland lineup ends Michael Wacha's day. Now, another thought. Do you bring Lucas Ercik in to start that seventh inning? Give him the seventh, give him the eighth, and then Bubich in the ninth, knowing that he's likely to face the heart of that Cleveland order in the ninth inning? Yeah. Or do you let Wacha face that lineup? Yes, a fourth time. But then Ercik can finish off the eighth and the ninth and go through Ramirez and Naylor and Fry in the ninth inning and finish this thing off. Again, a very tough spot for the coaching staff. And again, in my opinion, this game today was just the Royals paying the tab on what they've done over the past three games in Cleveland. Now, booting the ball defensively, some shaky base running, not getting a single quality start, having only one starter record an out in the sixth inning. It's no surprise the Royals ultimately fall just short at the end. No doubt it hurts, especially when you jump out to a first inning lead the way that you did. Answering back, with Michael Massey and Vinny Pasquantino going deep for an early 2-0 lead. You're up 3-1 after 3, 5-2 at the end of 6, but you end up falling by a final count of 7-5. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7965. Let's go to Austin in Kansas City. Austin, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, you told me to call in more often, so I am doing it.
My man.
A bit sad we couldn't get the sweep, but let's go down to Houston and crash the Astros party next. I thought it was a great job by Walker today. He's a rock in this order. Ran out of gas in the seventh, but yeah. I don't disagree with bringing him out, as he was sharp all afternoon. I did want to change the subject, though. I don't know if you listened to Fesco and Dusty in the morning, but I thought they had some crazy comments about Vinny being replaceable. And next time you go on that show, you need to set him straight. He had four hits today.
What'd they say? Let me know.
They said that there are other Vinnies out there on the market. I said, seriously? He's one of only four players. There's only three players ahead of him in RBIs. That's Aaron Judge, Joe Ramirez, and Marcell Ozuna. That's the list. We're not going to find another Vinny toiling in obscurity elsewhere in the league or down in the minors. So you got to tell them about that next time you're on there. But anyway, my question for you today, should we be worried about Lucas Erceg or no? Hey, I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much.
No. Well, I mean, you could do whatever you want, but personally, no, I'm not worried in the least about Lucas Erceg. I mean, you look at the six batters that he faced. So he comes into the game first and second with nobody out. He gets Jose Ramirez to fly out to left field. A shallow left field. Josh Naylor steps to the dish. And, hanging slider to Naylor. But is he kind of frozen in center field? If Izzy doesn't freeze, if Kyle Isbell has the kind of read that he has become accustomed to displaying, you know, if we see that gold glove instinct from Kyle Isbell, I think he tracks down that bloop off of the bat of Josh Naylor. So instead of a run coming in to score, it's two outs. First and third. Royals still leading the game 5-3. Now, it would have been an exciting, probably a diving play by Kyle Isbell. But yeah, that's why he's Kyle Isbell. We saw him make a few of those plays just a night ago. Also, as he was kind of about to dive for that, it looked like out of the corner of his eye he saw Adam Frazier coming in from right, also about to make a diving try at that bloop from Josh Naylor. So, but Erceg left that slider up in the zone, but I think the Royals defense makes that play, four out of every five times. And then Erceg gets All-Star David Fry to fly out to shallow center field. Inning could have ended right there with no further damage done at the hands of Lucas Erceg. Now I'll give credit to the next batter, the K-State kid, Brennan. He fought off a 100-mile-per-hour heater in on the hands, running in, and he just barely blooped it over Bobby Witt Jr.'s glove. So again, it wasn't as if they were stinging Lucas Erceg, and then Big Christmas, he takes advantage of a slider up in the zone and pokes it out to left. Now, even on that play, I don't think MJ had the best of reads. Not that it was a bad inning by the Royals defense, all in all. Not that it was a bad inning by Lucas Erceg, but you add it all up against a good team with quality hitters. Cleveland was able to capitalize and score four runs on six hits. But no, not worried about Lucas Erceg at all. His ERA now is .68 since joining the Royals. 16 strikeouts, one walk. Opponents are hitting .167 against him. Again, one run allowed across 13 1/3 innings pitched. I appreciate the phone call. My game notes following this 7-5 loss. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. Let's talk with Gene in Overland Park. Gene, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, brother Vern. I love your pregame, postgame show. First time calling on the new 96.5.
Yes.
I would have already had Coach Q, or, you know, Manager Q, should have had somebody warming up the bullpen at the beginning of the seventh.
Well, who'd you want? I want a name. Who did you want warming up in the seventh?
I would have liked had Bubich warming up and then let him at least pitch one, if not, an inning at half. And then I would have closed it out with Ursae. That was my, my thought, because him at 90-some pitches, I would already had somebody. And if he had to give up a home run, a double, a single, something, then I would have pulled him out. Just because we're in this race right now, you can't afford, especially against the Cleveland Indians, to give up anything. Yeah. So that's just my opinion. I'd love to hear off air. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, Gene, thanks for the phone call. You sound great on Crystal Clear FM, man. I'll tell you what. 96.5 The Fan, your new home for Royals baseball. I can understand if the Royals were trying to stay away from Chris Bubich. Bubich, Sunday, Monday was his first ever back-to-back in the big leagues coming out of the bullpen. On Sunday, now he only threw a few pitches, only recorded two outs. But then on Monday, an inning and a third, so an up-down, right? He comes out and pitches the sixth inning, goes and sits, comes back out and pitches the seventh inning. So his first career back-to-back also sees him pitch multiple innings in that second game. So they give him Tuesday off. I know they wanted to give him Wednesday off as well. So I can promise you they were trying to stay away from Chris Bubich. So having him up in case of an emergency, obviously the coaching staff was leery of that. And I think that's understandable. Bubich and Ursae, the only Royals, well, along with Chris Stratton, the only Royals that didn't pitch in the doubleheader back on Monday. Now, Daniel Lynch didn't pitch yesterday. Lynch, Stratton, Bubich, Ursae. Those guys, well, outside of Stratton, didn't pitch yesterday. So Bubich was, I don't want to say fresh, right? Because he pitched both on Sunday and Monday, only had Tuesday off. They were trying to stay away from him. Ursae was your big dog. Ursae was the guy you were comfortable using for multiple innings. I think we all want to stay away from Chris Stratton. I think we all wanted to stay away from Steven Cruz. I don't think that's the spot for you to make your return to the big leagues. So they were strapped today. And Lord knows Michael Wacha did everything in his power to try and be that bridge to Lucas Ursae. Just, as you mentioned, ran out of gas. But Wacha was big time, man. Two on with two outs in the very first inning. As MJ, rough read out there in left field in that first frame, almost cost him a run. But Michael Wacha picks him up and gets the Brennan kid to pop out for the third out in that first inning. Wacha then retires the side in order in the second, third, and fourth. A leadoff single in the fifth comes around to score as the Guardians just show a great opposite field approach to get their second run. How about Wacha, though, in the sixth inning? A leadoff double to Josh Naylor, and he works around it. Getting David Fry staring at 94. Getting Brennan to swing through a changeup in the dirt. And Schneeman dribbles one back to the mound. Michael Wacha, 91 pitches through six innings. Tried to gut through the seventh, ultimately could not. And the Guardians chip away at Ursae. Some solid base running. But again, a great approach from a very good team. A first place team in the Cleveland Guardians. They take the finale 7-5, the final score. Let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7965. Let's go to David in Gardner. David, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Q played it right, leaving Wacha in. I think he's been our second best pitcher for a while now, and who I trust after Reagan's most right now. You touched on Isbell. I think that was the biggest thing. I think he needs to be more aggressive. It's just one game, obviously, so Isbell's been great. But I feel like we could have got out of that inning 5-3 if Isbell was more aggressive and tried to dive for that ball. And even the play before that, I don't know what MJ was doing, but or Wyatt, if Isbell could have called him off on that play. There was just a weird series of events.
That was strange. That was hit right to Isbell, and he had the throw all lined up home, and yeah, MJ cut it off, and you know, still held the runner at third. But yeah, very strange play. Thank you for the phone call, David. The Isbell in center, Frazier in right dynamic. I don't really care for it. I mean, of course I love Isbell in center, but the communication between him and Frazier just doesn't seem great, which is odd because I can't think of, I really can't think of another outfield partner of Kyle Isbell where it just doesn't seem to work like that. That's at least the fourth time this season where they just don't seem to be on the same page. Maybe they don't pick up each other's voices. That was strange. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Scott in Lewisburg. Scott, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan as the Royals lose the finale 7-5. Go ahead.
Burn. Love the show. Love your coverage.
Thanks, man.
So I'm not going to try to second guess all the plays and what the management did and pitching and all that stuff. Based off of how we finished up against the Phillies, if you would have came to me and said, hey, we'll go ahead and give you a 3-1 series lead or win against the Guardians, I'd take that all day long. Now, obviously, we match up really good against them. We need to figure out how to match up against the Twins. We take care of business down the stretch. We go down to the Astros, which I do believe that that's a winnable series for us. We went forward. At the end of the day, we went forward with this series.
Right.
So it's not all rainbows and puppies, but, you know, we came in how many games out, and we came out how many games out, we went ahead.
I'm with you. Thanks for the phone call. Came in two games back and leave one game back. Yeah, no doubt. Gained ground. Yeah, if you would have told me, and you guys know how much I've been harping on this 20-game stretch, the riptide, as I call it. If you would have told me that 7 games into the riptide, the Royals would have a grand total of 1 quality start, right? 1 quality start in the first 7 games of the riptide. And you also told me that they would make an error in 5 of the first 7 games. I would think that the riptide's starting to pull the boys underneath. 1 quality start and you're booting the ball all over the place, and not to mention the base running mistakes that we've seen over the first 7 games of the riptide. For them to be 4-3 is shocking. 4-3, and if we're being honest, you're led by Bobby, Salvi, and the bullpen. That makes no sense. I never would have predicted that. So yeah, you're certainly happy, and I'll tell you this, it's not about matching up with the Twins. It's about playing better. Now, Royals have beat themselves as much as Minnesota has beaten the Royals, in my opinion. And I agree, the series that starts tomorrow night in Houston is a very winnable series. But they're all winnable series when you're a good team. And the Royals are a good team. Not a great team, not a perfect team, but they're a good team. Normally led by its rotation, defense, and team speed, which makes every series winnable. Right, when you got Singer, Lugo, Reagans lined up for the first 3 games of this 4-game set, of course, it's a winnable series. You got a split, but it's certainly there for the taking. I think the Royals will probably be favored in 2 of the 4 games. So, yeah, I want 2 of the 4 games. Royals and Astros get started up tomorrow night, 7:10 for the first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show, and your chance to win tickets to see the Royals and Guardians go at it next Wednesday night at Kauffman Stadium. Seth Lugo scheduled to make that start. You can win those tickets tomorrow and every game day, 1 hour before first pitch, so be listening tomorrow at 6 o'clock right here on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan. If you're on hold, stay right there. We take a very quick timeout and get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Burns Postgame Show.
Witt dives, smothers it on the grass to his feet, throw to first. Oh, he got him! What a play! Bobby Witt Jr.
on your knee. new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
If severe weather has hit you, then make Century Roofing your next call.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
7-5, Royals dropped the finale in Cleveland despite three home runs, putting the boys in front 3-1 at the end of three. Michael Massey opened it up right out of the gate with a leadoff home run in the first. Two batters later, Vinny Pasquantino belts his 19th. In the third, Bobby Witt Jr. runs into big fly number 28. Bobby's on pace to go 33-32 this season. Bobby still leads baseball with a batting average of .346, and he's one of three big leaguers with an OPS north of 1,000. So, yeah, 3-1 Royals at the end of three. That's that lead would balloon 5-2 at the end of six, but a four-run seventh inning for the Cleveland Guardians off of Michael Wacha and Lucas Ursig, your two best pitchers, really. I mean, if we're being honest, Michael Wacha has been your best starting pitcher dating back to the beginning of May, and we all know that Lucas Ursig's your best reliever. Those two today just, Wacha ran out of gas, and the Guardians executed better than Lucas Ursig did. In my opinion, nothing to hang your head about, and yet, I'd take a quick gander at the text line. From the 660, Vern, you're crazy to say that you would have let Wacha pitch the seventh inning at 92 pitches after he gave up that first pitch home run. From the 913, Ken from Leavenworth, I have no problem with leaving Wacha in, but we should have had someone up and throwing to start the inning. From the 816, Vern, my confidence is irrelevant. The team's confidence ought to be damn high. From the 913, letting Wacha come out for the seventh is forgivable, but keeping him in after the leadoff home run is not forgivable. Another one from the 816. Vern, remember the old saying, yoasted? Well, today we were cued. Michael in Prairie Village writes in to say, quit crying, Royals fans. Yeah, to me, it's almost as if you're not listening. Available relievers today. Ursig, Chris Stratton. Now keep in mind, Stratton pitched yesterday, and it's Chris Stratton. You really want to see him? Steven Cruz, who was just called up today. Do you even know who Steven Cruz is? No, you don't want to see him, okay? Now, Daniel Lynch threw three innings 2 days ago. Chris Bubich put together his first ever back-to-back 2 days ago. So the options, really, the options that you feel comfortable, that you don't feel as if you're putting the young man's health at risk, are Ursig, Stratton, and Steven Cruz. And you know what? I'll give you Chris Bubich. But to those of you saying that Q should have had someone up and warming to start the seventh inning, well, what happens if Wacha retires Bo Naylor and gets Steven Kwan and finishes that seventh inning? You just burned an arm. You know, they are humans, right? It's not, hey, get up and get warm. Well, I guess we don't need you. Keep getting warm. We might need you down the line. Now, the goal was find the bridge to Ursig. And the question was, Ursig v. Jose Ramirez. Is that key matchup coming up in the seventh or the ninth inning? Well, turns out it was the seventh inning. Who did you want in that spot? Ursig, Bubich, Cruz, or Stratton? I don't know what Q could have done differently. But you let me know. 913, if there's something else that I haven't mentioned yet, let me know. 913-586-7965 is the phone number. That's also the text line number. 913-586-7965. All right, let's go to James and Marion. James, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Okay, Josh, here's what I got to say about you know what? Walker gives up a solo home run. Who cares? One run. Don't give a crap about that. Anyway, my main point to calling you is I'm glad that the Royals are playing tough teams at the end of the season, because you know why? When we roll into the playoffs, we won't get swept or anything. And one other thing I have to ask, Josh, were we playing no doubles defense in the outfield? Because I get sick and tired of baseball teams playing no doubles defense late in the game, and then you get blooped to death, and the next thing you know, you lose 7-5. That's all I got, Josh. Great show. The best team in baseball is right here in Missouri. Have a good day, Josh.
All right. Thank you very much, James. I don't believe that they were playing no doubles defense. Honestly, when you have, I mean, if you're Adam Frazier, I want Adam Frazier playing back. I don't want him to get, Adam Frazier's a 30-something utility guy. Now, Kyle Isbell, and you play wherever you want. I trust your speed. I trust your instincts. But Frazier's not the strongest out there in right field. He's made some outstanding plays this season. But I have no problem with him being tucked back a bit out there in right field. Now, Royals lose 7-5. They're 16 games above 500. And despite the confidence we just heard there from James, the Royals not the best team even in their own division right now. A game back of Cleveland in the American League Central. Three more meetings with the Guardians start up next week at Kauffman Stadium. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every game heard right here on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. All right, let's go to Rex in Independence. Rex, you're next up on the postgame show. Rex, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Vern, how you doing?
Great, great. How are you?
Good, man. Hey, I'm going to be a confident Royals fan. I have no reason to be upset about today's loss. You can't win them all. And, hey, me and my son-in-law, Brian, we listen to you all the time. But I think we didn't get cued today by Matt. I think he's doing the best he can with what he's got, and he's got a great team. So I'm looking forward to good things, looking forward to playoffs. And I think the Royals are going to go a long way. Last time I talked to you was about 2014, but
where you been?
When I called you about a nickname for Christian Colon. Remember Brute by Fabergé? You remember that?
Brute by Fabergé.
Brute. Anyways, yes. Hey man, I love the Royals. Love you, and go Royals.
Well, then stop waiting 10 years to call back.
I know, man.
You love me so much. Wait till you know.
Yeah, you've been great.
Out to
thanks,
dry in 2018, and last year you're nowhere to be found. They started winning again, and now you show up, Rex. I'm playing, man. Nice to hear from you. Royals lose 7-5. Two Royals had multi-hit games. Vinny Pasquantino had his first career four-hit game, and Bobby Witt Jr. had just another, his 56th multi-hit game of the season? Bobby also picked up his 78th extra base hit of the season as he parks that solo bomb in the third. 78 extra base hits, good for second most in baseball. It's already the seventh most extra base hits that any Royal has hit in a single season in franchise history. Ladies and gentlemen, he has 28 games to play and he's already posted the seventh most extra base hits ever. On pace to shatter Hal McRae's franchise record that has stood for nearly half a century. Furthermore, Bobby scores another run, 114 on the season, the most in Major League Baseball, and already the fourth most in Royals franchise history, matching what Carlos Beltran did back in 2002. Bobby there as well, on pace to set a new single-season franchise record. The Wit Watch is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Visit communityamerica.com to join. Member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Bobby Witt Jr. hitting .408 since the All-Star break, driving in 32 runs in the 37 games. Let's go to Paul in Lawrence. Paul, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Yeah, Vern, can you hear me okay?
I got you loud and clear.
All right, so I'm using a different mechanism so we can have feedback. Great show. To the caller who said the 2014, he hadn't talked to you since then, I don't think I've been as excited about this team since then, and I just want to put a quick mix. if getting cued means we have the best record in baseball and we've rushed to the front where we're playing not only meaningful baseball, but we just about swept Cleveland on the road for a four-game sweep for the first time in 51 years. And you know going into that seventh inning, it was going to be darn near impossible to do that. You knew they were going to come at you. Okay, so we've got practice now, and we're getting lots of practice. We're going into September. We're going into October. This team is on a roll, getting cued. Just like I said way back when, after the getting Yosed frame started to pick up speed, get rid of it because that's a positive thing. This guy is has turned this team around. This team is going places. The acquisitions are, I mean, Lorenzen, are you kidding me? And what DeJong has done is just like, for God's sakes, man, we are not only contending now for a wild card, but now we're contending for the best wild card, so we don't have to play three on the road, but also for the division.
Division, don't care about the wild
and
card.
Just lots of good things.
No doubt. No, you're firing me up, Paul. I appreciate the phone call, buddy. Thank you very much. We don't care about no stinking wild card. 28 games to play. You're a game back of Cleveland. And yes, your schedule is one of the five most difficult schedules remaining in the sport. Whatever. Singer, Lugo, Reagans, Waka. Let's dance. Royals on pace to win 91 games. We get back to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to Burns Postgame Show.
Witt dives, smothers it on the grass to his feet, throw to first. Oh, he got him! What a play! Bobby Witt Jr.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Hey, Kansas City, it's Brian Pringle with Victory Ford at the Legends in KCK.
Welcome back to Burns Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Curveball laced high in the air, deep to right field. Noel's to the track. Noel's out of room. It's gone. Second home run of the inning for Vinny Pasquantino. He joins Michael Massey going deep to right field. And the Royals lead 2-0 in the top of the first inning.
Vinny Pasquantino's first inning bomb as called by Jake Eisenberg. Right here on 96.5 The Fan, put the Royals up. Now, Waka would give a run right back in the bottom of the first inning as he hits the second batter that he faces, and that batter comes around to score. So it's 2-1 Royals after the first, but they would lead this game all the way until the seventh inning when the Guardians put four on the board and turn a 5-2 Royals lead into a 6-5 Royals deficit. Guardians tack one on against Chris Stratton in the eighth and win the finale 7-5, the final score. But yeah, Vinny Pasquantino, his first career four-hit day. And since the All-Star break, the Pasquatch is hitting .303. 35 runs driven in the 37 games since the Midsummer Classic. Vinny's OPS since the All-Star game, .843. League average OPS is just a shade above 700. Vinny putting up an OPS of .843. Royals lose. They're now a game back of the Guardians, but still 16 games above .500 and on their way to Houston to open up a four-game set with the first-place Astros tomorrow night. Brady Singer squaring off with Hunter Brown. Seth Lugo and Framber Valdez coming up on Game 2. Cole Reagans against Yusei Kikuchi in Game 3, and then the finale coming up on Sunday. Likely Alec Marsh making the start. Likely. We'll see. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7965. Again, that's 913-586-7965. Let's go to Tom in Overland Park. Tom, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Josh. First of all, I just want to say great show.
Thanks.
And, you know, we've been listening to you for a long time. I think you do a great job of keeping everything in perspective while also highlighting the, you know, the moments that we're in and sort of do a great job encapsulating all that.
Well, so, I appreciate that, Tom. What'd you think of this one?
So, and I just got work, so I apologize if anyone brought this up already, but the part of the game that frustrated me the most is probably not the same for a lot of people. It was in the top of the eighth because I was looking at the who was due up, and it was 7, 8, 9. And granted, for Means in there, he's, you know, probably one of our better options for the bottom of the order. But, you know, knowing Clase is looming in the ninth inning, it's just like, boy, it sure would be nice if we had, a reliable bat we could bring off the bench here. And I guess this just sort of goes back to the outfield problem of trying to find some way to scrape together three bats to put in the outfield that can vaguely play in the outfield. But at this point, I'm sort of just...
The Hunter Renfro injury is big, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure. And that's definitely part of it. But also just at this point, honestly, I wouldn't mind if they tried to address it Brett Veach style and just went full out on the outfield this offseason. But I understand we're ahead of schedule, but that was just really frustrating looking at it. It was like, boy, we have no one that can come up and make a difference here in 7, 8, 9, and then we have to face Class A in the 9. So, anyway, love the show, and glad that we're doing. The series was still huge, regardless. So, we'll get them next week.
Yeah, looking at the bench options, you had Michael Garcia was already used, right? Dairon Blanco, Garrett Hampson, and Tyler Gentry. So, yeah, not the most intimidating collection of bats for Matt Quatrero to choose from. And that's not going to change anytime soon, right? Hunter Renfro should, well, I guess it will. Hunter Renfro should be back in the next week and a half. But until then, you got to bang with Bregman and Yordan and Altuve. And then, again, Jose Ramirez and Josh Naylor come to Kauffman Stadium for a series starting up on Monday night. Yeah. Hunter Renfro can't get back soon enough. Hunter Harvey can't get back soon enough. You know, we hear Joel Goldberg on Bally Sports Kansas City report that J.J. Piccolo believes it's a 2 to 3 week injury for Michael Lorenzen. Now, I don't know if that means 2 to 3 weeks and he's back in the big leagues or 2 to 3 weeks and then he's off on a rehab assignment. Either way, doesn't bode well for Michael Lorenzen helping this team as a starter down the stretch. Maybe he can help him when he returns out of the bullpen. Right? By the time, you would think, by the time Lorenzen returns, you know, it's all hands on deck. I don't even know if you still have a five-man rotation at that time. You have Marsh and Lorenzen coming out in high-leverage spots out of the bullpen. Well, yeah, that's what I would do, at least. But if you look at Hunter Renfro's numbers, really, eliminate the month of April. Look at what Renfro's done since the beginning of May. And you know, he's well above league average. He's right there, for the most part, with his career numbers. Solid power numbers. MJ Melendez is hitting .318 in the month of August. And if you want to go back to the beginning of June with MJ, which is when a lot of people wanted him traded, since the start of June, MJ Melendez has an OPS of .819. Kyle Isbell plays a strong center field. I just think you need consistency from second base and third base, the kind of production that you've received when Massey's out there, the production that you've received when Paul DeJong's in the lineup. DeJong today, 1-for-4. He's now hitting .316 when his name's in the lineup. Royals lose today 7-5. Let's go back to the phone calls. Let's go to Wilson in Olathe. Wilson, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Big Vern, appreciate you taking the call, man. I won't lie, I had a question, and then you said something when we came back. Who is the matchup for Game 3, the series coming up?
Reagans and Kikuchi.
Kikuchi. Do you think he's going to show up hot and loose, or is he going to take some warming up before we see the good stuff?
Come on. Who knows? Who knows? Appreciate the phone call. I mean, unless there was something else. I think that was a setup. It was a long setup. And I respect it, Wilson. I really do. Thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7965. Let's take a look at the text line real quick. Corey in Buckner says, Vern, at the beginning of the year, all I was asking for was the boys to go .500. So everything past that is just gravy. Corey, I think you might be in the minority on that one. I think we're now to the point of the season where if this team falls short of October, it's going to take a lot longer for us to talk through it. About a month and a half ago, The only thing I wanted was stay in the race until the end. If you fall short, I think we'll be able to explain it away. But with 28 to play, and not an insurmountable deficit for the Boston Red Sox, but you feel confident with the gap between you and the Bo Sox, especially with a healthy Waka, Reagans, Lugo, and Singer, and Urseg. A healthy Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny, you feel good about your chances to at least get into the dance. Royals fall short of October. I don't think it's something that's 24 hours later, we're all celebrating what a magical season this was. You fall short of October now, I think it's going to take a week. It's going to take, a few Patrick Mahomes Sundays before you get over it. Yeah, I would say it's going to take multiple weeks before you're able to move on. You might not be able to watch playoff baseball this year. So I like the perspective, Corey. I don't think many people share it. Brock from the old number 5 says his confidence is not shaken. Nick has some ideas of how Q should have gone about that 7th inning. Chris wanted Bubich to pitch the 8th instead of Chris Stratton. Yeah, again, guys, I believe the coaching staff was doing everything they could to stay away from Chris Bubich. Right, his first career back-to-back on Sunday and Monday. So you pitch him today, that's 3 times in the past 4 days, including 1, which was multiple innings. Now, you were losing in the 8th inning. Sure, down by 1, and you want to keep it right there. But what happens if you take the lead in the 9th? Then you're going to Chris Stratton in the 9th inning? Again, man, today's loss is not, in my opinion, is not the fault of the manager. Today's loss is the Royals paying the tab for what transpired in the first 3 games of this series in Cleveland, where you didn't have a single starting pitcher recording out in the 6th inning. Shoot, you didn't have a single starting pitcher finish the 5th. The guy that pitched last night, keep in mind the game was interrupted by a 2-hour and 14-minute rain delay, but the guy that you had pitch last night recorded a grand total of 5 outs, and your bullpen, in a 2-day stretch, your bullpen pitched 16 and 2/3 innings of 2-run baseball. And the only options out there today were, again, Lucas Urseg, Chris Stratton, Steven Cruz, and maybe Chris Bubich. You know, emergency use Chris Bubich. I see someone here on the text line. From the 913, why bring up Steven Cruz if he's not an option? No, he was an option. Okay, maybe Steven Cruz instead of Chris Stratton. You think that's fair to the young man? I don't know. I'll be honest. I wasn't trying to watch Chris Stratton. I'm not trying to watch Steven Cruz. This was a Michael Wacha, Lucas Urseg game, and they almost pulled it off. Almost pulled it off, which would have been an unpredictable 4-game sweep. To do it in that fashion, for a team that has been built on its rotation, its defense, and its base running, the rotation, defense, and base running were subpar for the most part throughout this 4-game series. So the fact that the Royals were able to walk away with 3 of 4, courtesy of that bullpen, and of course your studs in the middle, and Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, I think you're whistling on your way down to Houston. Sure. Bum that you lost this one, but it's not difficult, at least it's not for me, it's not difficult to turn the page. Royals rotation, even after Wacha gives up 5 earned runs in 6 innings. Now, 2 of those runs came into score after he already departed, but his ERA balloons to 3.5. Still one of the top 25 ERAs in Major League Baseball. Royals have 4 of the top 25 in Major League Baseball. It's the first time since May 4th that Waka's given up more than 3 earned runs. It's the first time in 11 starts that Waka's been beat. Turn the page, Kansas City. I'll be back with you tomorrow night. Brady Singer and Hunter Brown, the opener of a three-game series in Houston. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Carrington Harrison, Rob Brenton. It's The Drive on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Thanks for listening. Take care.